We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Hey, Pop. Can I ask you a question? How come you ain't never liked me?
Like you? What law is there say I got to like you?
None.
All right, then. Don't you eat every day? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you eat every day?
Yeah.
As long as you in my house, you put a sir on the end of it when you talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You eat every day.
Yes, sir.
Got a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
Got clothes on your back.
Yes, sir.
Why you think that is?
Because of you.
Hell, I know it's because of me. But why do you think that is?
Because you like me?
Like you. I go out of here every morning. I bust my butt because I like you. You're about the biggest fool I ever saw. A man is supposed to take care of his family. You live in my house, fill your belly with my food, put your behind on my bed because you're my son. It's my duty to take care of you. I owe a responsibility to you. I ain't got to like you. Now, I don't give you everything I got to give you. I give you your life. Me and your mama worked that out between us, and liking your black ass wasn't part of the bargain. Now, don't you go through life worrying about whether somebody like you or not. You best be making sure that they're doing right by you. You understand what I'm saying?
Everything that boy do, he do for you.
It's not easy for me to admit that I've been standing in the same place for 18 years.
Well, I've been standing with you. I gave 18 years of my life to stand in the same spot as you.
That's a little bit of a movie that is, well, you can hear from the dialogue, is obviously nominated for an Academy Award. The movie's called Fences, starring Denzel Washington and directed by Denzel Washington. It's a movie that, well, I guess that kind of says it, where the main character doesn't go anyplace. Usually looking for a redemption of a main character, you're not going to find it in this film. Joining us to review the Oscar-nominated movie, Fences, Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Jeff Shores, the executive producer here at Issues, Etc., went to see this film, and he had three things that he thought about. He said, first of all, there's no redemption to this main character. And the main character, played by Denzel Washington, has about 60% of the dialogue in the film. And if for that reason only, he deserves the Academy Award. What do you think?
That's a pretty good assessment. It is a really phenomenal acting role that he's taken on in this movie. Plus, not just the acting, but also directing the film as well. And he had also played in the role on the stage before making it into a movie. So he's very familiar with this subject matter. And to get back to that first point about the redemption part, it is one of those movies where for those of the listeners who are pastors and you go see a movie, occasionally your pastoral counseling or your, you know, your desire to help in a situation gets tingled. This is one where by the end of it, you feel like, boy, there's so much that could have been done to help this family along the way. It's an emotionally rough film to watch.
So what's the story?
The story of the film is about this this African-American man living in the 1950s in Pittsburgh. He is a sanitation worker and played by Denzel Washington. He plays, the character's name is Troy Maxson, and he's married to a lady played by Viola Davis named Rose, and they have a couple sons, one from earlier on, a previous marriage, I believe, and then Corey, who is a younger son. And they're all kind of living, Corey lives at home, the older son has already moved out. And it's kind of that life that they're living at that time. And there's a generational shift happening. There's more opportunity for African-American men living in the 50s than there were when Denzel Washington's character of Troy Maxson was living earlier in his own life. He kind of peaked as a baseball player, but before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball. So you have some bitterness in this character, and I say some bitterness. There's a lot of bitterness in this character, and he is angry at everything, and he feels as though because he does the certain things in the way that he thinks he should do them, like take care of his family, provide an income, that because of that, then he should be able to do some other things on his own. So he's a selfish individual, actually. And what you find is that some of that is masked with humor. But along the way, it's you slowly get to know this character more, and you see the interactions he has with his wife and with his son who's living at home, and with his friends and with his older son and with all the people that he comes in contact with.
So I got to ask, ordinarily in a film like this, the big payoff is that you have a man who's embittered by life, who feels like he has been robbed of an opportunity, that he has basically spent his life trying to take care of other people. He feels a little privileged there, too. But the big payoff in a film like this is usually that character arc that, in the end, you want him to be redeemed, and he is in some sense. Why didn't the filmmakers redeem this character?
Well, it's based on a play from the past. So they had the original material. And in fact, the writer of the play, August Wilson, is up for adapted screenplay for this film, for an Oscar. So they just didn't have the ability to make a redemption story for this character. That would be really breaking from the original source material. Why you would write a play like that is interesting. I guess let's just spoil something. So 1, 2, 3 spoilers ahead. There is a moment that I think is intended to be one that would indicate something about redemption. The character of Troy has a brother who, through the course of the movie, you get to know him. He's got an acquired brain injury through working with the in the military. And he has a trumpet that he, a trumpet that he carries around with him. And he's a more religious and spiritual character. And at the very end, the character of Troy, Denzel Washington's character, has died. He's dead. It's the day of the funeral. And the brother is in the backyard, and he points the trumpet up, and he's, you know, I got to let the angel Gabriel know that Troy is coming. And he plays the trumpet, a blast of the trumpet, and the clouds part, and it's supposed to be this moment of redemption. I think that that's what it's getting at, right? You have to remember, this is a play that's been turned into a movie, so maybe the things that work in plays are not the things people always expect in a film, but this is what you get. However, it is very weak. You've been a fly on the wall through the whole entire film, seeing everything that's been going on with this character, and you know that he is not a good, I'm using air quotes, good individual. And to put a finer point on that, he is not a repentant person. He is not somebody who wants to do better exactly. And there's one spot where I think we could specifically talk about that. But you've seen all of this all the way along, and he dies with antagonism towards God and all sorts of things along the way. So, and what happens is at the day of the funeral, all of a sudden, all of his rough edges are polished off, and they're all talking very kindly about him in a way that rings as dishonest to the viewer who's been along for this ride and seen what kind of a person he is.
This film obviously is hard to watch because it's showing us some very deep truth, not only about men like this, but potentially about ourselves. What are your pastoral thoughts with 1 minute?
Yeah, this digs into the nature of a selfish heart, and one where somebody has really embraced that selfishness. So his character has committed adultery. He only fesses up to it because of the fact that a child is going to be born out of it. It's a very gut-wrenching, emotional movie. And in the category of Best Picture, it's probably the most gut-wrenching, emotional film next to Manchester by the Sea, which we'll talk about maybe next week.
Finally, does it show us the truth about ourselves in an accurate, from a pastor's perspective, an accurate portrait of the human condition? Can we say, perhaps, apart from redemption, which comes only in Jesus Christ through his word of law and gospel, what man looks like in himself?
The varnish is very thin on this character, and it wears off quick. You get to see the unvarnished nature of this particular character. He's a very interesting individual in terms of a character to watch. But yes, it's heavy on the law and short on grace. This character is not even very interested in receiving grace, and the grace that he receives is pretty thin also. So what you get is maybe something that would make most Lutherans who are used to law and gospel a little uncomfortable, because you know, you want to tell this guy the gospel. Like, he's definitely living under the hand of the law in a big way, but he's embittered by everything. It's all of his troubles, they're not making him turn back to Christ in any way. Jesus is present. There are images of Jesus in the home. Jesus gets mentioned. There is a little bit of church-related stuff that comes up, but this is not something that he's particularly interested in during the course of this film as it unfolds.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And you can read his review of Fences under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., the Church of England, in its synod meeting in London, has rejected a report from a longstanding committee that has been working on this for a long time on the subject of same-sex marriage, because the report recommends, well, first the report reminds the synod what it is the church's official teaching is on same-sex relationships. And then it recommends that they hold to that teaching, which is more or less the biblical teaching. It's a challenge to the Archbishop of Canterbury, but it's also an image or a picture, a window into what's going on with the future of even the Church of England. We're not talking about the liberal Episcopalian diocese here in the United States. We are talking about the Church of England, where it might be headed on the issue of same-sex relationships. We'll talk about that with Bishop Keith Ackerman. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about new Pew research on Americans' attitudes toward religious groups. And we'll talk about repealing Common Core with Joy Pullman of The Federalist, all in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.